And finally, on this News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, did you wear bread bags on your shoes, perhaps going to school, getting in the bus? Well, Iowa's freshman U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Red Oak, Iowa, gave the Republican response to President Obama's State of the Union speech on Tuesday. And in it, she revisited a practice from her childhood that she also mentioned during her campaign.
We were raised to live simply, not to waste. It was a lesson my mother taught me every rainy morning. You see, growing up, I had only one good pair of shoes. So on rainy school days, my mom would slip plastic bread bags over them to keep them dry. But I was never embarrassed, because the school bus would be filled with rows and rows of young Iowans with bread bags slipped over their feet.
U.S. Senator Joni Ernst in a national address earlier this week. Of course, that bread bag mention sparked a huge internet conversation about bread bags, fashion with bread bags. And also following that has been Des Moines Register's Iowa columnist Kyle Munson. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Ben. I love following up the discussion of the architecture of the brain with discussion of bread bag shoes. This is perfect.
We jump all over. But, of course, my first hardball question to you is, Kyle Munson, did you wear bread bags on your shoes?
You know, I cannot definitively say that they never touched my feet. You know, maybe when I was a toddler, my parents slipped them on. But, you know, I do not have a memory of really ever wearing them in a meaningful way. Certainly not sharing my long, dusty bus rides with rows and rows of fellow school children.
That does give you quite an image. It would have been sufficient to say, well, as you mentioned in your article, perhaps a little bit of overkill there.
Yeah, and that's what really struck me. I mean, the minute I saw it, it was she had spent some time kind of, you know, crafting her folksy rural image of plowing the fields and working the biscuit line at Hardee's, and then mentions the bread bags. Okay, that's fine. But then she lingered on that for yet another beat, and then went into, you know, this vivid scene of the bus full of. So it was just I couldn't. She kept drawing it out, and so I just thought it was maybe a bit much, and it definitely just then rippled across the internet.
Right. And we've been asking on for tweets and also posts on our Facebook page. James Lynch of the Gazette, a colleague of ours at the Gazette, he wrote in a tweet to us, in the small southeast Minnesota town where I grew up, girls sometimes wore bread bag swimming caps. And yes, bread bag shoe protectors were not uncommon, especially in the spring. Kyle, this sounds familiar to me when I think about my childhood, but honestly, I didn't know if I wore them or not. So you know what I had to do?
What?
This morning, I actually had to call Mom.
And what did she? Oh, here we go.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. It's Ben. You back from your exercises?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm home.
Something's been bugging me. I don't know if you've heard it in the news. Did you put bread bags on my shoes?
Well, I could have,
okay.
if it was, you know,
I won't hold it against you.
Sledding or something, and it was just another protection that you could put in there, and I can't say, I'm sure I put it on somebody, but I don't know. I'd say you could.
Well, you did. I was one of five of your children, so that's good enough. It was a practice at the Kiefer household in Cedar.
But it wasn't just the bread bags alone. You
no.
didn't send you out with just bread bags. No, I didn't do, but it would be inside of a boot.
Now you grew up in the youngest of a family of seven,
right?
Seven kids in southern Minnesota. Back then in the 40s, would you have worn bread bags?
We didn't have bread bags. My mother baked bread.
Oh, okay. The pre-bread bag era.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
So now I know. I probably wore bread bags, Kyle.
Oh, that's one. You know, that's one of the things I've heard a lot from people is that, you know, Joni crafted this image of slipping them on over the boots or over the shoes.
Right.
And I keep hearing from people, you know, if they did wear them at some point, they slipped them inside the boots, so the feet didn't get wet, so your socks didn't get wet, even if your boots leaked.
Right. Catherine on our Facebook page says, I grew up in the era of moon boots. They were ridiculously ineffective against wet. We lined them with bread bags.
Mm-hmm.
I might use this anecdote while campaigning for office, but I would not waste time on it in my nationally televised response to the State of the Union address, writes Catherine.
Yeah, you know, and I thought it was an interesting moment for me, too, to think about how, you know, politicians always have to do this. You know, they have to craft their image of being of the people. And I just wonder if maybe there are some new rhetorical ways that we can figure out for them to do this, you know,
right.
These long monologues.
What are your thoughts on whether this puts Iowa, it certainly puts Iowa in the national spotlight again? Iowa gets there quite a bit into that spotlight. But what kind of spotlight? Is it a flattering spotlight?
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's I guess it plays to that easy stereotype of, you know, here we are, the rural Iowans again, for not castrating hogs, we're, you know, wearing bread bags on our feet. but, you know, I mean, I think that's been changing, and we're going to have many of these probably surreal moments throughout this caucus campaign to come. And, you know, Des Moines is a much different city than it was 10, 20 years ago. So I think people are, and you know, every other week we're on some new top list of, you know, millennials are flocking here, or the business climate is good, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
So that has been changing. But what, this was interesting because, you know, unlike we're in her campaign, you know, Make Him Squeal was very, it was meant to cause a fuss. I think this was a little bit more unexpected, and yet it's almost a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that in your column, you quote a fellow Southwest Iowan and in your journalist, Lynn Hicks, the Register's opinion editor. Do you remember what she said?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Joni mentions Red Oak, but she actually graduated from school in the nearby Swedish town of Stanton. So did Lynn Hicks. And let me just find. He talked about his bags were gluten free.
Right. He said you've got in your article, my bread bags were organic, gluten free with sprouts.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Raygun is having fun of it. The Des Moines-based company that makes T-shirts. They quickly put out a humorous T-shirt this week, which proclaimed on the front, "Iowa, you say bread aisle, we say shoe store."
Yeah, and they were selling instant. Yeah, those guys are.
They made a lot of money, I bet.
Mike Draper and his colleagues, they're quick with it, and it's great to have a Des Moines clothier that is editorially savvy and snarky.
Before we go, we've got just about 90 seconds left, Kyle. This Saturday, the route for RagBride 2015 will be announced. The Great Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa. You will co-host an event, I understand, in Des Moines with the anticipated announcement Saturday evening. Do you know the route?
Yeah. No, not at all.
You're not in the inner circle.
It's better off that way too. You know, if I would slip up and say, "Hey, we're starting in Lincoln, Nebraska this year," it would just ruin everything. So
okay, last year, 2014, a Northern Route, the Great Lakes area, Forest City, Waverly, Independence, over to Guttenberg. The year before that, a middle of the state route through Des Moines, Knoxville, Fairfield, ending in Fort Madison. Are we due for a Southern Route, you think?
I think there's a lot of money on that, and that's where I would place my bets, but I really don't have any inside info. So, you know, RagBride director TJ Jeskowitz will host the whole thing tonight and be unveiling, and then Michael Moraine and I will be on the live stream so people can watch along starting at 8:30 at RagBride.com or DesMoinesRegister.com. And so the eight overnight towns, you know, from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River will be unveiled tonight. I think you're right. There's a lot of sentiment out there that's saying we got to go south this year. So I'll be interested to see what actually emerges.
Right. And make no doubt about it. If you're picked as a RagBride town, it's a significant economic influx, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge traveling circus, especially when we talk about, you know, rural Iowa struggling to, you know, keep its businesses and schools, and then all, you know, John Deere just announced hundreds of layoffs today. So, I mean, it is a big deal on the summer calendar. And then, of course, it's going to be a crazy Saturday overall in Des Moines because we have the Iowa Freedom Summit. So it's going to be full of bicyclists and politicians downtown. What could go wrong?
All right. Kyle Munson of the Des Moines Register, thanks for popping in at the end of our program today.
Thanks so much. Keep wearing the bread bags.
Well, in the shoes or in the boots.
Shoes.
Not on the outside.
Exactly.
I'm not that far. River to River is produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. And our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.